At a time when it's so easy to criticize what people aren't doing right, it's so refreshing. You just have to take the time to call out when somebody is just doing it right. And right now for me, the number one person doing that is Shiva Shaw and an incredible CD-ROM collection. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. There are many people who contribute to the Internet Archive along a theme. I even have scripts that notice when they're adding things and put them into the proper collections. There's somebody who only uploads zines, or somebody who only uploads user newsletters from what I can only assume are crates from their 1980s adventures. Some of these folks drift around from what they were originally uploading, going from floppy disks over to digitized VHS or scanned papers, and then back again. But Shiva Shaw has been uploading CD-ROMs for years now, just passing 2,500 individual CD-ROMs, and I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge how breathtaking that is. Here's the thing. I don't know the story of where they're getting these CD-ROMs, but as somebody who spent a lot of time in the 1990s seeing CD-ROMs in stores and in ads and magazines, I am completely floored by the variety, the rarity, and the intensity of this collection. If you spend enough time collecting anything, you start to find trends. There are a few major CD-ROM companies, companies like Walnut Creek or Wayzata Technologies, that produced a lot of what I find when people donate CD-ROMs to me. Besides the commercial products, the Microsoft operating systems, or the paint or application discs, actual compilation discs, ones where they shoveled up as much as they could from BBSs and later the internet, and then repackaged them, are much rarer by comparison. There's multiple reasons for this. One of the most pressing reasons, of course, is that they were so expensive because many of these discs were aimed for sysops. The idea was that if your BBS needed to have an instant file collection, these $50 or $100 CD-ROMs could be purchased, put up on your site, and since it was so expensive, you could be guaranteed that people wouldn't be able to get it otherwise. You could then turn around and sell subscriptions to your BBS, using all of this data to leverage interest in what you have. There are countless ads in 1990s computer magazines about all the features that a BBS would have. This is long away from the single-line microcomputer BBSs of the 1980s. These are mega BBSs, what would eventually flip over and become ISPs, sites where the stats of the BBS became as important as whatever their theme was, even though, after a while, their theme was simply making money. They would talk about the amount of phone lines they had, the amount of callers, and of course, the amount of files in their file section, crowing about the fact that they would have 15 or 20 gigabytes of data in the mid-1990s. What drove this collection were these expensive CD-ROMs. They have a predecessor in rental-ready VHS tapes of the 1980s, which were sold for between $100 and $200, so that only rental stores would have them, and you would have to use that business to rent that VHS. All of that went away once video stores became large chains, because they would eventually negotiate directly with movie studios for prices. That never happened with BBSs because the whole world flipped over to the internet model. Had it continued, I'm sure we would have seen more and more of these integrations between industries where encyclopedias, movie studios, television networks, newspapers would have discs that would go directly to BBSs and where you would get the information. I think we can all be pretty happy that things moved in a different direction. One of my favorite statistics is that in the 1990s, AOL CDs were half, fully half, of all CD-ROMs produced, but that still left thousands of other CD-ROM titles that were manufactured. There were, of course, update CDs, driver CDs, but they maintained their prominence throughout the 2000s. Left behind in the 1990s were these compilations, these small-run CD-ROMs, maybe only having 1,000 or 2,000 copies made, that would have collections of data that might not be anywhere else, and certainly not online. This is the treasure trove. I'm seeing discs going by with just collections of GIFs, collections of FidoNet utilities, adult art, shareware games, and reaching niche markets so small that I feel like only 500 would have been made. Some of these CD-ROMs would find themselves for sale at computer stores, where I can remember going down the aisles and finding the collections of stacked CD-ROMs and seeing what they had for sale. A lot of it was dedicated to Linux and FreeBSD operating systems, but there would always be a smaller stack of other unique titles that would then disappear in the next month. For a while, VCDs, video CDs, would allow you to put a movie on a CD-ROM format. It was incredibly small and the compression terrible by today's standards, but they do represent an entire swath, an entire family of CD-ROMs that are essentially gone from the face of the earth, but apparently not in Shaw's collection. I'm sure I'll eventually find out what the story was behind this. A computer store that was bought out, a distribution center that was doing a sale some years ago, or maybe even some sort of library or verification system. I've had people who worked at plants that did duplication, and they had copies of everything that plant ever did. Maybe that's the story. In some ways, I don't need to know. It's the generosity of going through the process of photographing each of these discs, imaging the contents, and then uploading them one after another to the Internet Archive. That, to me, is a sufficient enough story in itself. Checking up on the newest batch of uploaded CDs, maybe 12 or 24 every week, it's a bonanza I never grow tired of. Maybe I don't have an interest in relatively low-resolution scans of original classic paintings or travel guides that are 20 years out of date. But every once in a while, I browse through these ISOs, and I discover BBS lists, and I discover lore from the BBS era that's been preserved, artwork that represents a moment in time, or music and graphics that in themselves still make people happy when I bring them to light. What's best of all when you have such a general-themed uploader like this is seeing how agnostic they are about the content, doing breathtaking work here without deciding what the next generation should have. This library of multi-hundred megabyte images, now past 1.3 terabytes and growing, represents a corpus of history we otherwise would never have experienced. This pinch point, this moment of egress from the 1990s, may be the universal window from where the history of these items has passed. I think it's important to accolade and appreciate the work that somebody is doing, to also stay out of their way, to not find faults or argue about this method versus another, to let them find the joy in what they're doing and let them continue. Because for as long as this is going on, in this realm, in this small world of plastic discs that ruled the earth of the 1990s, we are receiving a shining waterfall of history. This is Jason Scott, Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bakoyanu, Peter Healy, Mark Pilgrim, Corey Thomas, Emilio Oliveira, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I don't know their story. I don't need to. As somebody who recognized how rare some of these CDs could be and who was concerned about whether or not they would survive to today and we would ever experience them. This uploader's work lifts a weight off my shoulders that is incalculable. The name of the account is Shiva Shah.